This is the day which the Lord has made. We will, man, we will rejoice and be glad in it. I really love the last song we sang so much that I swiped the music off my stand and brought it up here. And I thought it's worth mentioning, just in case we got caught up in, and sometimes as we do, not paying attention to the words that we're singing. But if you listen to the words of this song, it's such a beautiful song. Are you hurting and broken within? Now, I'm not asking what you look like and what you stand like, saying, hey, I'm doing fine. I'm talking about inside where nobody else sees, but God says, I see exactly where you are. I know where you are. I know what you're going through. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin. Sometimes it's overwhelmed by other things, but the weight of our sin, it says Jesus is calling. But I love this line in that song. It says, have you come to the end of yourself? You know, we're all doctors, right? We're all fixing ourselves. Well, I just Googled my issues and Dr. Google told me to do this. So we all try and self-diagnose ourselves. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. And it says the Father's arms are open wide. And it's important that we know and understand that His arms are always open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And it says, leave behind your regrets. Church, that's one of the biggest weights we drag around with us day in and day out. Our big giant bag of regrets on our back. And we drag that thing around and our arms hurt and our back hurts and our heart hurts and our mind hurts from carrying all this around. But it says, leave those behind. And mistakes, leave those behind. Who doesn't have a bag full of mistakes they'd like to leave behind? Or several bags, whatever. It says, come today, for there's no reason to wait. Over the last couple of weeks, I've really been thinking, and I thought, man, I've had some good messages, put out some good stuff there. It's like just putting food out in front of an infant, and they're supposed to know how to get that steak and cut it. And they're supposed to know how to eat it. And I thought, it's not enough to present the gospel. I want to try and present the gospel, but I want to try and also help you understand, why should I take advantage of this? And at times, how can I move into this? You say Jesus Christ is transformational, Adam. He is. I asked Him to transform me, but He didn't do anything. Here I am. We're going to look at that today. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Colossians. It's towards the end of the middle of the New Testament. But Colossians chapter 3. There's a lot going on in our world recently. A lot going on in our world. I read about a guy that went to Afghanistan to backpack. Was taken captive several years ago. And how he was finally released or is free now. Him and his wife and his children. The Las Vegas shooting. There's many different things going on in the world. We were up in Owosso a couple weeks ago with my son's band doing a marching competition. Heard about a young man that fell to his death at another high school. And it turns out he didn't fall to his death. Well, he did, but he jumped. And he ended his life. Why? Because he didn't know where to go. And it broke my heart. And I think about depression that had a hold on him and so many. And I'll be honest, it's something that I don't understand, I don't deal with, I don't know about. But it broke my heart that a young person is at a point in their life to think, I don't have anywhere else to turn. And in the middle of his band, with all these friends and fellow students and parents and teachers, and he climbed to the top, climbed over a security fence, and ended it. And it broke my heart. And I thought, man, somewhere I talk all the time, we've got to be the light for those that are lost. We've got to be the light for those that are in darkness. When things change in an instant, for the parent that had to write the Facebook post on what happened and how and why. To the loss of a loved one. Ellen's daughter Roxanne is with us today. And Roxanne, I don't mean to call you out, but I want to tell you that our church mourns with you and we hurt with you. And he passed away unexpectedly, Bob Jarvis, 2 weeks ago. And death is always a shock. And Helen, living through that as well. And we have death that comes against us. And we have depression that comes against us. And we have loss of life that comes against us. And we think, my God, is there any good in the world? Yeah, but we don't always hear about that. We don't always hear about the good. And I want to talk today about God and what He desires. And I titled it, God Desires Growth. And He desires for us to move and elevate ourselves. I was so excited when Jason was here a couple weeks ago presenting his message in the very unique way that he has. And the enemy is always trying to trick and deceive us. As we who have found salvation sit here today, we have a mission. God has given us a mission. Let me look around here. A couple young people back there. Some young person or people that were there. Don't be offended if I didn't call you young. And our young folks over there. And I'm talking about like our teens. Your mission is so important to those fellow students that you come in contact with every day. And how you treat them and how they see you. And they'll see you from afar and don't think that they don't. As you're in Colossians 3, just stay there for a minute. I want to read something out of Colossians 4. Colossians 4:1 says, Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly, now listen up, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And then he goes on and says, Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. Redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Let us pray. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Last week when Eric spoke, he talked about being a leader and being a follower. And which are you? And he talked about being a fan. It's a little bit different. And I thought the other night we had another late night at a band contest. And I went Friday evening to help load up the truck with all our props and do that stuff at the high school. And they had a junior varsity game. Well, we know there's hundreds of people that show up for a JV game, right? No. So I was done. I thought, well, let's see what's going on with the game. Had a friend that had a son that was playing. And she said, no, he doesn't get to play in this one. So I said, okay. Well, I count 8 fans on the opposing team, so I think I'll go over there and sit and cheer with them. Now, I'm not knocking any particular high school, but U.S. Grant generally does not have a huge following of parents. And there were 8 people over there. And I thought, when we talk about being fans in the big picture, we cannot forget that it's okay to go and support other people that aren't on our team. God calls us to love one another. And thank goodness, by the time I left, there were 22 fans over on that side. One particular very excited mother, she said, "Am I on the right side for U.S. Grant?" I said, "Well, yes, I'm a Choctaw fan, but I'm over here to help you, help cheer you on." She said, "As you can see, the rest of our parents failed to show up, so we appreciate that." And she continued to be the cheerleader for that team, sat in the front row. She said, "I've got two kids down there playing." And she said, "Come on, guys, I can't do this on my own, and I won't do it for you." But she broke out into a little song and dance business that was quite interesting. And she said, "Come on, guys, I can't do this on my own." And I saw the most unlikely guy score a touchdown for their team finally. Now, who do you think he was, or what do you think he looked like? He was the guy that, man, they stuffed in that suit, right? And he's barely fitting in, and he's tall, but he's just big. And he moves about like this. And that ball fell about from here to there to the end zone, and he said, he picked it up, slowly danced in it, and he scored their only touchdown. Don't think that you are unworthy or you'll never make a difference. I'm sure the last thing that guy thought was, "I'm going to make a touchdown today." No need to show up, mom and dad. Remember that when people tell you, "You don't need to be there. They just have me out there as a big guy to block everyone." And he scored their touchdown. And guess who the hero was that day? The most unlikely person. The Bible is full of those people, the most unlikely. There was that one guy, I can't quite think of his name, but he was killing Christians and dragging them off to prison. And then lo and behold, he met Jesus. God called down to him, or he found Jesus. And God called down to him, and guess who became one of the biggest witnesses of the gospel in the new church? That most unlikely guy that was killing the same people that he now is the biggest fan of and now leading. So in Colossians chapter 3, when Eric talked about following, and I'm going to get to the scripture, I promise, but it's important that we understand a lot of things. And Eric said, God wants you right where you are. Do not think one of you, he doesn't want you right where you are. I don't care how young or old you are. He wants you, and he's calling you, and he has given you a gift, and he wants you to use that gift. And Eric said, he wants you right here. Don't worry about cleaning up. I've told this story before. My wife and I worked with a lady, and I said, she said, "You need to get in church." I said, "When I get my life straightened out, I'm going to go to church." She said, "Oh, Mr. Dilly." She's a bigger gal. She said, "That's like me saying, when I get in shape, I'm going to the gym." And it just didn't make sense. And I said, "You're right." And lo and behold, this daughter of mine was going to this youth group called Ground Zero. "Cindy, it's Easter. Why don't we check out where she's going?" And here we are. But God says, "I want you where you are. Just come to me. I'm waiting for you today." Oh, no, I'm not looking for your perfection. I'm looking for your imperfection. I will perfect you. I'll do that work. And again, we always tend to think, wait, I clean my own self up and I fix my own self. He wants us constantly growing rather than staying where we are. And I made a small list of issues that we run into if we just stay where we are. And that list of issues, as everything else, this but not limited to this. If we stay where we are, we come. And if we don't grow, we don't serve. There's no servants. 2 weeks from now, we're having a meal. There's no servants here because everyone just stayed where they were. Everyone sat around going, no one brought me my food. We just sat here. No one moved the chairs. We just sat here. There's no tables out. So there's no servants. You're a poor witness for Jesus Christ, to say the least. I know Jesus Christ, I'm the same as I was 15 years ago when I first found him at the bottom of the barrel. He says, no, I want you to grow and be a better witness for me. And we're a poor witness for his power and what he can do. Eric spoke last week about disciples and making and creating and being disciples. If you stay where you are, there's no disciples. Sorry, there's no one to go out and spread the gospel. There's no one to tell anyone about the gospel anymore. And the church dies. Pride and arrogance, also leading to being a poor witness for Jesus Christ. Not meeting your potential in gifts, in leadership, in organization, whatever it is. He has given us all gifts. And he wants us to use those. He wants us to be good stewards of not only our money and finances and possessions, but be a good steward of our gifts. Those things he has given us, he wants us to use those for his glory. Notice I said for his glory. It's not for our glory. Yeah, but my gift is behind the scenes, Adam. Yeah, it's for his glory. My gift, as Jan talked about in Wednesday night Bible study, may be to put my finger in that hole where the water's leaking out. But I want to do more. But he says, I understand, but right now, I just need you to do this because it makes a difference and it impacts people and it changes people doing what you're doing. Lack of forgiveness. What does the Bible tell us? If we don't forgive one another, he won't what? He won't forgive us. Man, if we're not growing, we're not learning to forgive and we're not being forgiven. Lack of freedom. We're enslaved in where we were and what we were. Intimacy. We grow tired and weary. When we don't understand the benefit and for his kingdom, we grow tired and weary. Adam, would you please just read some scripture so we know there's a scriptural reference to this? Yes, Colossians 3, chapter 1. But I want to get to all those things to say this answers it. Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 1. And then you were raised with Christ. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. That right there will remove some of the things on the list that we read about. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our new life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. It says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Now, did you catch that? It said, you used to be one of those sons of disobedience. You once walked in that path when you lived with them. But when you met Jesus Christ, you lost your life. You gave up your life for him. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these things. Listen carefully. Some of these may apply to you and me. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouths. I'm not going to look for a show of hands, but I probably hit a few of you with some of those as well as myself. Do not lie to one another. I'm sorry I told them to lie about being in a great mood today. I didn't mean that. I misspoke. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. You see, when you made that transformational decision to give up your life and allow him to rule in your life, you put off the old man and you put on the new man. That's not something that, like this jacket, to take off and put on as I feel like it. Says, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and Christ is in all. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, as the elect, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Okay, write this down on a to-do list. Put on tender mercies. He's telling us to do this. Put on kindness. Yeah, but I don't like these people, and I don't like when people do. Put on kindness. Humility. Meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. My version says must do. But above all these things, put on love. To-do list, put on love. Remove hate, put on love. Now think about it for a minute. If it says we've got to bear with one another and forgive one another, that means that we are going to have what? Differences with one another. We may have some arguments. We may not see eye to eye. That doesn't mean that we're not Christians. It doesn't mean that we're not good people. But it says put on these different things. Put on kindness. Try that when you don't see eye to eye. Maybe some meekness, some patience, forgiveness. But above all, it says put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Oh, that's why we haven't reached perfection. We forgot to put on a few things. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And then it says what? And be thankful. We thank you. I will give thanks to you. Be thankful. Well, it's not Thanksgiving yet, Adam. This isn't just a yearly November activity we should do. He says, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you say, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And I can specifically remember preaching this passage a few times, actually. And I'm not just reliving old messages, I promise. This is specifically to talk about us growing. It says, you shouldn't stay here where you were. He wants you to grow and reach and stretch for this level. Now think about it, and we all want to grow to our full potential, I hope. And if not, we should be thinking about that at least. But Jesus Christ says definitely, and by the way, your path is different than your path, which is different than your path. Each one of you has a different path. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. But listen to this. Adam, you had some things on the list we haven't quite covered. And it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands. That will remove some problems. Oh, sorry. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Oop, that'll fix the other part, right? Okay. But if we're both doing this, or even if one is doing it and not waiting for the other to do it, When you do it, then I'll do it. I know my wife and I aren't the only ones that do that, are we? Are we? Okay, maybe we are. Okay. When you do, I'll do it. Okay. That was the old days. The newer days are, I'll do this. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Children, I haven't left you out. Children, obey your parents in a few things. No, I have underlined all, in all things. Children, obey your parents in all things. I'm looking for some other younger children. In all things. Why should we do this? For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You see, sometimes we do things to please man. But he says, this is pleasing to the Lord. Oh, parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers that we just talked about, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. You see, this keeps us from being tired and weary. One of the last things I mentioned. Oh, I left two off the list. Lack of fellowship. When we drift away and drift apart, when we don't grow, we miss the fellowship. And then in case I missed it, which I did, but I found, I also wrote it on my next page, defeat. When we don't grow and we stay where we are, we face defeat. Or we feel defeated. And God's Word says, we are not defeated. The enemy has been defeated. We are overcomers. We are overcomers. And if we stay where we were, then we're overcome. But we are overcomers. We get beyond that and we go past that. And it says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of an inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Followed up with a what? Adam, why should we do this? But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no partiality. I don't want to think about that. Now, why did Paul write this to the church at Colossae? There were a lot of things going on in the church. And as you can imagine, Jesus Christ is gone. They've pushed on with Christianity and their faith. But in the new faith, they're facing a lot of different things. In the new faith, you've got some of the old faith that's trying to intermingle. And you've got people saying, yeah, I know Paul came and started this and said this, but I'm here and I want to add this to it and I want to change it and I want to, you know, put in this. And all of a sudden they started diluting the faith. And they started stirring it up and getting it all muddied with extra things that they said you had to do, you couldn't do, you should do. And it got into some legalism and all these different things by man adding in extras. When man adds in extras to the gospel, it's not biblical, it's not productive, and it certainly isn't healthy to the church body and to individuals. They were trying to accept this new thing, but then they have strong leadership coming in trying to adjust it and tweak it and make it fit their needs. And we have to be careful in churches. You know, there's a lot of people say, I want to become a pastor. Why? Well, I want my own ministry. And oh, my Lord, you must have seen the five guys on TV and thought you'd be one of them. And they may be effective, but I'm just saying that if you're doing this for the wrong reasons, Eric and I are very sound that we want to preach everything that is biblical and is backed up in Scripture. And we want to find these things in there and we want to help educate you guys. And I want to follow up going back to chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 20 through 23. It says, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. False humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. So as they were coming into the churches, they were trying to tell them, hey, you've got to do this, and trying to add in some rituals that weren't biblical. And they acted like, hey, you've got all this knowledge and wisdom packed behind these and wrapped around in these things. But they have the appearance of wisdom. Oh, and by the way, it looks like you're subjecting yourself to something or someone or what, but it's false humility. This isn't real. And neglect of the body, but they have no value against the indulgence of the flesh. You're way off base when you try and bring these things in. And it's not what Jesus Christ desired in His church. And so Paul's going back through trying to say, I want to clarify this stuff because I came, I started, I left, but now I'm hearing about these things. And I've got to go back to you guys and I have to give you some instruction here. We'll go back a few verses in Colossians chapter 2, verse 4 through 10. And it says, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, meaning he wasn't there with them, but he's writing them saying, although I'm absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Think back to that list I read. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Not in man, but in Him. And established in the faith if you've been taught. So that means when we grow, we have to teach others in that. And then he says, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. We've talked a couple weeks ago about a lot of people trying to make different arguments, if you will, about religious aspects that really have no bearing. And this is what he's talking about. That we don't want people deceiving you with persuasive words. And let me tell you, there's a lot smarter people in this world than me. I think that's obvious. But I'm smart enough to know when they're trying to spin all these words around to make a pile of dirt look like a gold nugget. So he says, you've got to watch out for this stuff. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness. Did you get that? For in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. That was a weird way to do it, Adam. You hit 4 and then went back to 3, then went back to 2. But I wanted in chapter 4, I wanted it to give us the basics for saying, hey, this is what he says to do. And he wants us to watch out for these things. And then in chapter 3 was a meat. If we follow these things, that list of not growing, that tends to disappear when we follow the instruction there. The fear of not growing and not being a servant in the church. We're the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. The shoe boxes That is an opportunity to be hands and feet. When we go to the food bank, that's an opportunity to be hands and feet. When we give and do something on our own, that is being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. When we pray for people, that's an opportunity for us to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And that list suddenly starts disappearing, and we start growing when we follow these things. We grow when we listen and read His Word, when we understand it. And the fear of not growing was at the end of that. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there's no partiality. And we live this life according to what we see right here. And that's our problem. Because we should be living it for what we'll receive up there. It doesn't matter. I'm going to heaven. I know that, Adam. I don't care. Eric and I have had the debate, and we've talked about it here. Is it better to be a beggar on the streets of gold than to be the greatest person in hell? Now, I don't think we're going to be beggars on the streets of gold, but I'm just thinking we can't sit by and say, even if we are, I'm going to sit on the streets of gold, and I've made it to heaven, so I really don't care after that because that's good enough. And even Jesus says, that's not good enough to just say, I've got my pass. And we have this that tells us, when you get that salvation, when you get that transformation, then there's all these other things that come after that. And it's loving one another. And it's caring for one another. And it's lifting one another up. It's helping each other with their burdens. Each one of us, Galatians says, has to carry our own load. But we're to bear one another's burdens. We are overcomers. And wherever we sit today, remember Jason said, whoever's up here is no different than whoever's sitting out there. And in the big picture, that's true. As leaders, as teachers, Eric and I and Helen have a different accountability to Jesus Christ for our teaching. But we're the same as you. So where we are, Jesus said, I want you to grow. I want you to grow where you are. Don't be root bound and say, I can't be transplanted. My roots are no good. That's it. Not being free. Let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we just ask today that you help us grow and help us understand where we are and where you desire us to be. Lord, we read in your word the things that we should be doing, the principles that we should be living by, the character that we should have as believers. As Eric mentioned last week, not just fans, but as believers, as followers, as disciples, as though we care about building disciples and growing the church. Heavenly Father, help us today find ways to get there. Help us have the boldness to reach out. And our desire, Lord, is to help them grow, to help ourselves grow. Lord, we stand on your word. We believe in your word. And we look to your word for our life plan. Lord, we pray that you draw us closer to you day by day, week by week, service by service, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the 31 years this church has been here, and we ask, Lord, that you continue to grow it in your word. Help grow us. Allow us to become a greater light, a greater beacon, and a greater place to build up servants and disciples for you. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.